Welcome to the Fan Podcast. This is Mo Horton. How is everybody doing? We're going to talk some NBA today. Conference Finals start this Sunday. Cleveland Cavaliers, Boston Celtics on ABC. Monday night, Golden State Warriors, Houston Rockets on TNT. It's going to be two great series. Two teams in each conference clashing. See who's going to make it to the NBA Finals. It's going to be a blast, man. I'm looking forward to that Houston Rockets-Golden State series. Everybody's saying that that's the NBA Finals, and whoever wins that series is basically going to steamroll whoever in the East, which I disagree with, but hey, we're going to go with that. It's going to be a compelling series, man. The Rockets are built to match up and beat the Golden State Warriors. The Rockets GM basically said, hey, we're obsessed with the Warriors, man. We're going to come out and build a team that's constructed to not only stick with them, but beat them. And, man, they beat them 3-1 in the regular season. 2-1 in the regular season. And the games that Harden and Chris Paul played together and were healthy, you know, they had a pretty good matchup against the Warriors. Now, you could say that the Warriors were dealing with boredom of the regular season and wasn't really giving it their all and were trying to stay healthy and not be injured. But it's going to be a great series. Draymond Green matched up with P.J. Tucker or Clint Capella. Kevin Durant, who has a matchup for him? Maybe they put Trevor Ariza out there on him. Maybe they throw out Mbata Mute out there on him. And also the matchup between Klay and James Harden, Chris Paul and Steph Curry. That's going to be all really, really good matchups. And seeing how both coaches, Mike D'Antoni and Steve Kerr, adjust throughout the series. People are waiting to see if Chris Paul is going to Chris Paul and if Mike D'Antoni going to Mike D'Antoni in these playoffs. It hasn't happened yet, but, you know, historically in the playoffs, Mike D'Antoni has had some fails, especially in those Phoenix Suns days where he just couldn't seem to get the right matchup against the Spurs or Dallas Mavericks or whoever he coached against in the playoffs. And, you know, Chris Paul fails. He finally got over the hump, and he's in his first conference finals for the first time in his career, in his 13-year career, he's made it to the conference finals. So we're going to see if those guys can hold up. We're going to see the type of adjustments that they make and what type of matchups, because Chris Paul, he's probably the most gifted and from the numbers historical players in NBA playoff history. He has some of the best numbers, just been on some very, very bad teams. Because you can tell with those Clippers teams with Chris Paul and even some of those New Orleans teams with Chris Paul that he had enough. He did a lot of good things in those series. It's just the role players and also, you know, some of the co-stars around him weren't up to snuff, especially. And then Chris Paul did have some unfortunate times at the end of the series, especially in late games when he had those 3 turnovers in the last 18 seconds of a game one time. The series that he played where he didn't get the shot off with an opportunity to win the game. Also being down, I mean, being up 3-1 against the Rockets in 2015, and then the Rockets came back and won that series. And that really wasn't his fault, just that the L.A. Clippers didn't have a bench at that time. So we're going to see. And also, I'm going to bring in James Harden and his failures in the playoffs last year. He went 2-for-11, 10 points in a elimination game, 6 against the Spurs with no Kawhi. I mean, he's had games where, you know, he didn't show up in the playoffs. Remember that historic 15 turnover game against the Warriors in an elimination game versus them in 2015 also. And he's had his playoff failures of, you know, him disappearing in the NBA Finals 2012 series where, you know, they needed their big three and Westbrook and Durant showed up and Harden was a no-show except for that one half in game two. So, you know, it's time to see what these guys got. If they can go out there and be everything they're supposed to be, James Harden more than likely will be this year's MVP. Chris Paul basically walked away from the Clippers and decided he wanted to go to a different culture and basically forced his hand in a trade to the Rockets. And, you know, they've basically been built with Gerald Green and Eric Gordon. And, you know, they're basically built to beat the Warriors. Now, it's going to be interesting to see what D'Antoni does this series because he's only playing, you know, about 8 guys. You know, usually in the playoffs, that's usually how it is. But this new age of basketball has brought about teams playing a lot deeper of rotation. Like the Warriors, they're about 10 men deep in their rotation. So, and you know, when the Rockets are only about, you know, 6 or 7 men, sometimes 8, depending on who that 8th guy is. And that 8th guy usually only gets about 12 minutes. So are these guys going to be fatigued, or are they going to be able to last against, you know, the depth of the Warriors? So that's going to be interesting to see, and what the Rockets do in this series. But it's going to be a great series, man. I'm looking forward to the Rockets running up and down the floor, up tempo, and I believe they're going to play a little bit better defense than what they have in the past. So it's going to be interesting to watch and see what these guys do and what they come up with. Now, on the Warriors side, they're finally clicking on all cylinders. I guess they had to wait to the playoffs to flip the proverbial switch, but they've looked amazing these playoffs. Against the Spurs, 4-1. Should have swept that series. Against the Pelicans, 4-1. They introduced what the lineup they call the Hampton Five, formerly known as the Death Lineup. Draymond Green, Andre Iguodala, Kevin Durant, Klay Thompson, and Steph Curry. And that lineup did wonders those last two games against the Pelicans. They had a tumultuous third quarter last game, 39 points and a quarter. Pretty much outscored the Pelicans and put the game away for good. So that's going to be great to see. When are they going to implement that lineup? Are they going to implement that lineup right away against the Rockets, or are they going to wait? Usually Steve Kerr likes to save that lineup for later in the series when he needs it, because it puts a lot of strain on Draymond Green as far as some guarding Clint Capella or any big man in that sense. But, you know, the Rockets, for the most part, are a small team. They come out there with Ryan Anderson and Clint Capella. So it'll be interesting to see when Steve Kerr is going to pull the trigger on this series. But it's going to be great. I mean, Steph Curry, he has fresh legs, had 5 weeks off. Just interesting to monitor his health. And is that knee better? Is that ankle better? So it's going to be interesting to see. And is Kevin Durant the man that we think he is? Because Kevin Durant took over the playoffs, especially the finals last year. So is Kevin Durant that X factor? Is Kevin Durant that dog, that guy who's going to guard in the fourth quarter, you know, James Harden, that guy's going to, you know, take on the challenge? So it's going to be interesting to see what the Warriors are bringing to the table. But it's going to be overall good series. And this is a series where I believe home court, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Warriors playing on the Rockets court, it's not going to matter. You know, Rockets playing on the Warriors court, I mean, either one of these teams can win on the road. So it doesn't matter to me about home court advantage. I mean, both of these teams are good teams, and they're evenly matched. So it just depends on who's going to make the crucial mistake in the last closing seconds, and who's going to be the guy that's going to close the series out or close games out for each team. That's what's going to be the difference in this series. Both teams are well coached. Both teams, you know, have a good playoff pedigree, and in the Warriors they have a championship pedigree. But the Rockets are built to match up and play against the Warriors. So we're going to see. We're going to see how all that plays out. And I'm just looking forward to how everything's going to go. And I'm just ready to see how everything balances itself out. It's going to be a great series. So we're on to the Eastern Conference Finals, Boston Celtics, Cleveland Cavaliers. This series is an unlikely pairing because a lot of people didn't believe that the Boston Celtics would even make it to the Eastern Conference Finals. And a lot of people didn't believe that Boston would get out of the first round. They have a very, very good team, very young team. Jason Tatum is an outstanding rookie. Shown very well that he can handle pressure. Been coming up big moments of the game last night. Hit a go-ahead layup basically to seal the game. Jaylen Brown is a very, very good player, up-and-coming star. A very, very good defender. Can hit big shots and pretty much is taking on himself to be a catalyst for this team. Unlikely star in Terry Rozier, Scary Terry. He's come off the bench in times when Kyrie was playing, but now he's the man, he's the guy. And teams were scheming to try to figure out a way to beat him. And the Sixers did a really good job putting T.J. McConnell in there, a guy who can not necessarily stop him, but was quick enough to guard him and bother him. But he's been an unlikely star this postseason. And Al Horford, the mainstay of this team, he's been very, very instrumental in their offense, the offense flowing through him. He's a great passer, post up against smaller guys, especially on the pick and roll when he has to match up. And also, you have to look at Marcus Smart and the presence he's had. He's been a great boost, especially since he came off from injury, making big plays on defense. Basically sealed the game last night with that stolen pass. Tried to miss a free throw last night and ended up making one, so on purpose. But he's been very, very instrumental in their success. Also, Marcus Morris, big pickup in free agency, man. He's been scoring a lot of points and bringing a lot of toughness, especially on the defensive end. Man, Brad Stevens, man, he's a genius. Probably the best coach in the NBA today. Like, no disrespect to what Greg Popovich is doing, but Brad Stevens is amazing, man. He has some next level plays and making these teams who probably wouldn't otherwise be there look great, man. It would be great if Kyrie Irving and Gordon Hayward were playing in this series, and just to see what Brad Stevens will line up, because I would definitely pick the Boston Celtics to beat the Cleveland Cavaliers if Kyrie and Gordon Hayward were playing. But they have a great team, man. A lot of depth. A lot of guys who just play hard and with a lot of energy. And Brad Stevens is the mad genius who's behind it all. So I know he's going to make a lot of adjustments, and I think he's the better coach in this series, you know. But the Cleveland Cavaliers have the better player, and we're going to talk about him a lot in this next segment with LeBron James. So, LeBron James has been a very, very electrifying player this postseason. He's carried this Cavs team all the way to the Eastern Conference Finals. But a lot of debate has sparked up lately about the type of player that LeBron is. What type of player is he this stage of his career? Can he carry the Cavs even further to the NBA Finals against the Houston Rockets or the Golden State Warriors? And can he defeat them? Also, the debate about Michael Jordan has risen again. Has LeBron surpassed him as the greatest player of all time? So I decided to invite my buddy Terrence Smith over to see what he had to say about the situation. He's a journalist who covers sports in the Memphis, Tennessee area, and he's also an aficionado about these sorts of debates on social media. So let's see what he has to say about the subject. All right, we have Terrence Smith on the line here. Give me some insight about LeBron James and his thoughts. How you doing, my man? Doing all right?
I'm good, man. I appreciate you having me on.
All right, cool, my man. So, tell me your opinions about LeBron James. What type of player you think he is, and what type of energy he's brought to the Cavs in this season, his 15th season in the league?
Well, of course, I mean, the easy thing to say is that he's the best in the game right now. I mean, that's not even – I don't think that's debatable. But as far as his impact this postseason, if he wasn't as great as he was in – particularly in the first round, they don't make it out of this series. And I mean that from the standpoint of, I think that first series was probably some of the best basketball he's ever played in his 15 years. Now the Toronto series, I think they could have played with me or you and would have won this series. Toronto they don't have heart. And so it didn't matter who was playing the three for the Cavs. That's probably five or six games regardless. Of course, when it's LeBron, it ends up being a sweep. But Toronto is just—they are the epitome of why the East has been crappy for the past 20 years. Teams like this—they win some games, but they're not built to win championships, and they can't compete with anybody that's on a championship level. The first round, all-time great. Second round, it's irrelevant because Toronto just don't have it. They'll never have it.
So what do you think LeBron's chances are against Boston? Boston has a really good team, really young athletes. Jason Tatum on the rise, Jaylen Brown.
Yeah,
how do you think LeBron will perform against the Celtics?
Well, I think when this series is over, people are going to realize how good Boston will be in the next 3 or 4 years, all those years, I mean. The fact that they made it to the conference finals in the East, first of all, we have to keep in mind this is the East. It's always going to be bad. But I think Boston will have a chance to not be the best team in the East, but be the best team in the league for the next three or four years, especially if Golden State ends up getting dismantled in 2020. If Hayward and Kyrie come back healthy next year, or who knows what might happen with Kawhi, I think Boston will either be a top two or a top one team next year. Well, now, as far as this postseason is concerned, I say we're going to be surprised because I think Boston might actually pull this out in six. And here's my reason for saying that.
Oh, wow. I got to hear this one.
Cleveland's defense is still horrible. I remember a game last year. It was against Boston. It was the one game Boston won. Now, if we remember that, Boston was down by like 25 or so, and then they ended up coming back and they won on a Avery Bradley, a game winning shot. But in the first quarter, when they got down, I looked at the way the game was going and I was like, wait a minute. Boston is getting every, like, all the shots were either wide open threes or they were layups that weren't really contested. Like, they got layups. They were just missing the shots. They're making those shots this year, and they've got young players that can make those shots. So I think that people might be surprised at the outcome of this series, especially, I put it like this, if they don't take one in Boston, they lose a six or five.
Wow.
They have to take – this is not going to be a LeBron dominates the series because LeBron can – I think this would be a series that LeBron might actually still play great, but Cleveland might not – still just not have enough. Because we got to remember that Kyrie was down for a while, and Boston was still holding on to that second, third seed. And of course, they ended up being, I think they finished second. And that said something. Cleveland had plenty of chances to catch them with Kyrie being out and with Gordon Hayward being down the whole year. So this team is still a good team. And I think that people might end up being surprised by the outcome of this series. Now, this, I don't think it'll be one of those things where it'll be damning to LeBron's legacy. Because not making the finals for the first time in 8 years or 9 years shouldn't be a bad thing. But if you play poorly, then it will be. But I do think that Boston might pull this out in six or seven, just because Brad Stevens is a great coach, and because they will be able to get shots that Toronto, with their poor ball movement and poor everything, couldn't get.
All right, this is the one I really, really wanted to get you in for, because I see you a lot on social media, in our personal conversations, have this debate between LeBron James and MJ. What are your thoughts? Do you think that LeBron has surpassed Michael Jordan as the greatest of all time in basketball? Or what is your opinion? I want you to, for my audience and for our enjoyment, what is your opinion on this?
Well, I'll say a few things. One, you cannot quantitate greatness. You can't say, oh, because this guy has these numbers and this numbers and this numbers and this numbers in his 800 season, that he's the greatest. No, that's not how greatness works. First of all, we have to keep in mind that greatness is opinionated. So when you throw around the term great or greatest, that implies an opinion. There's no particular formula for how great someone is. Now, we dubbed Michael Jordan the greatest because of the way he came back and he fought through trials and tribulations of what we came to know as the Bad Boy Celtics and the Bad Boy Pistons and the Larry Bird Celtics, which he never got a chance to actually beat the Celtics. They got a little old and decrepit before he could get to them. But yeah, people forget that the Bad Boy Pistons knocked him around. I mean, they beat him to the point to where he had to go and put off 15 pounds of muscle. And come back the next year, and of course he had Big 33 to help him out a little bit, but yeah, and then of course from that point on, man, it was his league, and nobody dared to step in the way until he of course retired early in his prime, and people forget that too. But I think the biggest problem with this debate is that a lot of people suffer from prisoner of the moment syndrome, and that's because, you know, it's like a lot of talent shows. The first act might be really, really good, but you're going to remember the second act more presently because it happened last. And I think that a lot of people are just prisoners of the moment. And also, it's because Jordan has held that mantle of being the greatest of all time. I'm kind of getting tired of saying GOAT, but he's held that mantle of GOAT for longer than anybody ever did, really. And I think people have gotten tired of it. And they want a likable guy in that role, and LeBron fits that role. And that's not to say he's not good. That's not to say he's not really good. That's not to say he's not all time great. But to give him the mantle of greatest of all time when he walked into a series against Dallas that only had Dirk Nowitzki, they had no other offensive threat, and they got beat down. And they got beat down specifically because he played bad. I can't put that on him, not when he's performed like that on the biggest stage. Now, I give him a pass with the San Antonio finals because the first one, simply because they weren't going to win that. I don't care who they had. But
so you mean
but
to tell
no.
me
And,
Boobie Gibson wasn't enough?
No, not Boobie Gibson. Most surely not Eric Snow. Eric Snow's been on two of the worst final teams in the history of life. He was on the 2001 Allen Iverson, the Sixers finals team too. But yeah, so I can't give him the mantle of GOAT, given his whole body of work. I can say that he's probably one of the top five players to ever play, but I just think that we get caught up in the prison of the moment. And we want the thing that we're seeing now to be the greatest ever, and it doesn't work that way all the time. The only time that works is within 10 minutes of watching the Avengers: Infinity Wars. I was like, yeah, this is the best Avengers movie I've ever seen, best Marvel movie I've ever seen. But it doesn't work that way with a whole career.
So this argument they're gonna about the competition that Jordan probably played a slower paced game, more of a half court game. Not as many athletes on the court versus what LeBron has in playing against guys with more wide open offenses, pace and space offense with the Warriors, more so playing against guys with more superstar power. What do you say to people who say that Jordan's competition wasn't to snuff with LeBron's competition?
First of all, those people are damn fools. this is what those types of people do. They look at Jordan's era and they try to find the one opinionated thing, because that's just an opinion. They haven't gone down each and every roster to see like the height of players or any of that. They're just going with the guys that they think they know, and they do that to try to discredit what Jordan accomplished. But here's what they wish, what they should do. They should be damn glad that he's not playing in today's league. If he was playing in today's league with today's rules, he'd probably average 40 easy.
Do you think he'll dominate? But,
oh, without a doubt. With the way James Harden gets called, look, if James Harden averages 30 a game and barely makes a shot, but he gets 20 free throws, I mean, Jordan will probably average 40, seriously. Yeah, so if that's their argument, if that's the best they can do, is that nobody was 6'7 when he played, nobody was 6'8. You know why? Because power forwards were 6'8 and they played physical. Nobody plays physical ball anymore. Yeah. This is what I always tell people.
They did back in the day, so absolutely,
right.
I agree with you on that.
Well, this is what I always tell people. Jordan didn't shoot a lot of threes. He got a lot of his points from mid-range, inside. He was shooting if he had to, and he was better from outside deep, but not, you know, inside the three-point line. But he had to go in and dunk on real deal centers, like real centers, Ewing, Mutombo, Lambeer. He had to dunk on those guys, not just get by him and lay it up and hope for a foul call. He had to dunk on them, otherwise he didn't score. And I'm not saying all his points came by dunk, I'm just saying he had to intimidate them as much as they intimidated him. Name me five good centers in the league today that when you drive on them, you fear them.
Yeah, man, you got me there. I probably can name every two, but other than that, you got me there. So you're not buying into this narrative that you know, LeBron is a better performer, especially in the playoffs. What the stat is that LeBron has more playoff game-winning shots than Michael Jordan, double as many? You know,
well, no. And that's misleading altogether. He has more buzzer beaters. So Jordan's game-winning shot in 1998, which should have closed his career, doesn't count as a buzzer beater because there were more seconds left on the clock. And John Stockton actually came down and almost made a shot. People don't remember that because they didn't watch the game. They just, you know, watched a couple of highlights here or there. So every game-winning shot that Jordan made doesn't count as a buzzer beater. These are just strictly buzzer beaters. And on top of that, two of LeBron's buzzer beaters were like wide-open layups where people just blew assignments. I don't know how you blew assignment on somebody that big and that great, but that's what they did. And I think one of them was a turnaround baby hook that bounced around after it hit the rim like 8 times against Washington early in his career. But no, they can throw that stat around all they want to. And this is why I say you cannot quantitate greatness. Show me any one of those guys that will hook them up to a lie detector test. And if they tell me that they would rather have LeBron taking the last shot over MJ, I will give them my salary for the year. So that's just... That's pure insanity. That is pure unadulterated insanity.
Oh wow! So,
so no, it's just something that those the main media outlets will throw out there to try to. We have to keep in mind that they need LeBron to be GOAT for now. Then they the next guy they're going to do because ESPN and TNT, those guys own the league. The league is they pay their players through the contracts from ESPN and Turner Sports, and I think Fox might have something in there too. So a lot of those things they put up there about LeBron having more buzzer beaters, it's just it's true. But you have to also read it in full context. It's just buzzer beaters. It's not full on. It's not full on game winning shot. You know, but that's the way they contort arguments to fit their narrative.
All right, so we're about to get ready to wrap this up. But while I got you on the line, predictions. Who do you have meeting in the finals? Who you have between Cleveland and Boston? Who you have between Houston and the Golden State Warriors?
I am going to say Golden State in six, and I'm going to say Boston in. See, this is the part where you're playing blackjack and you're sitting on 12, and you know damn well it's a 10 on the other side, but you want to double down regardless. I'm going to say Boston in six. I was tempted to go five, but I won't be that asinine. I'll go six. So I'm going to say Golden State and Boston in the finals, and barring any injury, I'm going to say Golden State in five.
Oh wow! So we have a prediction.
As Smoker would say, maybe even four.
Oh. Well, tell the people, man, how they can follow you on social media on all your different outlets.
Just follow me on Facebook, Terrence Smith, or you can follow me on Twitter at Terrence M. _ Smith, and we'll chat it up at any time.
All right, my man. Thank you for the interview, man. I appreciate everything, man.
No problem. We'll be in touch.
All right, Terrence Smith, guys. There you have it. Appreciate the call.
All right, man. Yes, sir.
The aforementioned LeBron James, man, he's been on a tear this postseason. LeBron James has had 4 40-point performances. He's had 2 triple-doubles. He's had 2 game-winning shots this postseason, and he's turned it up another level. 15th season in the NBA. Another long run in the postseason. I think this is now, his 12th run in the postseason since he's been in the league out of 15 seasons. So he has a lot of mileage, a couple Olympic runs. So he has a lot of gas. I've been to the finals 8 straight times. So this is by far, in my opinion, his best postseason. He's basically carrying this team on his back. It reminds you a lot of that 07 team that he carried to the finals with Larry Hughes, who was an absolutely great player, and Eric Snow, and Zydrunas Ilgauskas, and Sasha Pavlovich, and also Boobie Gibson. But that was a pretty decent team. But this roster, you could say, is a little bit better, more athletic, more widespread on the floor. But LeBron is just carrying these guys right now. J.R. Smith has contributed in the last 3 games, and so has Kevin Love. But for the most part in this postseason, man, it's just been all LeBron. And basically it's come down to which team has the best player, and it's been LeBron. It's been the Cavaliers having LeBron James. That's why I think it's going to be the difference in the series is that the Cavs has LeBron and the Celtics do not. That's just what it comes down to. Now, I believe that the Boston Celtics are going to push the Cavaliers to the brink. I think it's going to come down to 6 or 7 games, preferably 7 games. But I think just the sheer will and power and impact of a LeBron James will be the difference in this series and will be the coin flip or be the extra edge in a 7-game series, and I believe that LeBron will bring the Cavaliers on top in this series. It brings us to a different discussion of a widespread of how good is LeBron James, because LeBron James is going against and fighting against what he calls perceivably as ghost. He's basically going up against Michael Jordan. He's trying to catch that allure as best player of all time, greatest player of all time, rather, as the GOAT. It brought me to bring a guest on just to talk about the sheer perspective of LeBron James. What type of postseason he's having, how has he impacted the Cavs, and who's better, LeBron or MJ? Let's listen in.
So this argument they're gonna about the competition that Jordan probably played, a slower paced game, more of a half court game, not as many athletes on the court, versus what LeBron has in a playing against guys with more wide open offenses, pace and space offense with the Warriors, more so playing against guys with more superstar power. What do you say to people who say that Jordan's competition wasn't to snuff with LeBron's competition?
First of all, those people are damn fools. What they this is what those types of people do. They look at Jordan's era and they try to find the one opinionated thing, because that's just an opinion. They haven't gone down each and every roster to see like the height of players or any of that. They're just going with the guys that they think they know, and they do that to try to discredit what Jordan accomplished. But here's what they should do. They should be damn glad that he's not playing in today's league. If he was playing in today's league with today's rules, he'd probably average 40 easy.
Do you think he'll dominate?
Without a doubt. With the way James Harden gets called, look, if James Harden averages 30 a game and barely makes a shot, but he gets 20 free throws, I mean, Jordan will probably average 40, seriously. If that's their argument, if that's the best they can do, is that nobody was 6'7 when he played, nobody was 6'8. You know why? Because power forwards were 6'8 and they played physical. Nobody plays physical ball anymore. Yeah. This is what I always tell people.
They did back in the day, so absolutely, I agree with you on that.
Well, this is what I always tell people. Jordan didn't shoot a lot of threes. He got a lot of his points from mid range, inside. He would shoot if he had to, and he was better from outside deep, but not, you know, inside the 3-point line. But he had to go in and dunk on real deal centers, like real centers, Ewing, Mutombo, Lambeer. He had to dunk on those guys, not just get by him and lay it up and hope for a foul call. He had to dunk on them, otherwise he didn't score. And I'm not saying all his points came by dunk. I'm just saying he had to intimidate them as much as they intimidated him. Name me 5 good centers in the league today that when you drive on them, you fear them.
Yeah, man, you got me there. I probably can name maybe 2, but other than that, you got me there. So you're not buying into this narrative that you know, LeBron is a better performer, especially in the playoffs. What the state is that LeBron has more playoff game winning shots than Michael Jordan, double as many? You don't
well, no. And that's misleading altogether. He has more buzzer beaters. So Jordan's game-winning shot in 1998, which should have closed his career, doesn't count as a buzzer beater because there were more seconds left on the clock. And John Stockton actually came down and almost made a shot. People don't remember that because they didn't watch the game. They just, you know, watched a couple of highlights here or there. So every game-winning shot that Jordan made doesn't count as a buzzer beater. These are just strictly buzzer beaters. And on top of that, 2 of LeBron's buzzer beaters were like wide-open layups where people just blew assignments. I don't know how you blew assignment on somebody that big and that great. But that's what they did. And I think one of them was a turnaround baby hook that bounced around after it hit the rim like 8 times against Washington early in his career. But they can throw that stat around all they want to. And this is why I say you cannot quantitate greatness. Show me any one of those guys that will hook them up to a lie detector test. And they tell me that they would rather have LeBron taking the last shot over MJ, I will give them my salary for the year. That's pure insanity. That is pure unadulterated insanity.
Oh wow!
So no, it's just something that those the main media outlets will throw out there to try to. We have to keep in mind that they need LeBron to be GOAT for now. Then the next guy they're going to do, because ESPN and TNT, those guys own the league. The league they pay their players through the contracts from ESPN and Turner Sports and. I think Fox might have something in there, too. So a lot of those things they put up there about LeBron having more buzzer beaters, it's just, yeah, it's true, but you have to also read it in full context. It's just buzzer beaters. It's not full-on game-winning shot.
Okay, I'm finally wrapping up this podcast. I thank Terrence Smith for joining me today on the podcast with his expertise about LeBron James and his insight about the debate between LeBron and MJ. I'm going to give my prediction for the conference finals, and
I believe in the Eastern Conference Finals that the Cavaliers are winning 7 games. I just believe that LeBron James is playing on a different level. And I believe that we have to stop and start appreciating the greatness of LeBron James and stop comparing him to Michael Jordan and some of the great players. I mean, he'll have his day where we can compare them when his career is over, but we lose sight of just appreciating greatness when we see it, because once it's gone, it's gone. And he's a once in a generation player. And I believe that that's going to be the difference in this series, that one team has LeBron and the other team does not. So I believe that Boston's going to push Cleveland to the brink of elimination, but I believe that the Cavs will win game 6. And I believe they'll go back to Boston and they'll win game 7. And they'll be in the finals again for the 4th straight year. On the Western Conference side, I believe that the Golden State Warriors will win that series. I just believe that even though the Rockets are built to beat Golden State, I just believe that it's going to come down to coaching and that Steve Kerr is the better coach, technician when it comes to the game, better strategist, better with in-game adjustments, better with series adjustments. And I believe that he'll be a difference in that series. And I believe we're going to get Cavaliers and Warriors Chapter 4. I want to thank everybody for listening to this podcast. You can download this podcast everywhere where fine podcasts are downloaded. You can also check the RSS feed on my Twitter account. You can follow me on social media everywhere at Mo Horton, Mo Horton_audience of one on Twitter. I just thank everybody for listening and have a great day.